Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Awesome, awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited that you chose to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. I say it every Sunday. I'll continue to say it. There is no place I'd rather be than right here, worshiping God, praising His name. Amen. Best place in the world. Amen? Amen? Amen. This side of heaven, of course. This side of heaven. I'd choose heaven over here. You should say amen to that. Amen. Yeah. I tell my wife all the time, I love you, but heaven's cool. I can't wait to get there. But I'm cool here. I'm cool with here right now. You guys are all looking at me funny. How many of you excited? It's spring. First day of spring. Yeah. Thank you to our cafe team. Iced coffee is back today. Yeah. Be careful. It's cold brew, y'all. It's cold brew. That means it's really strong. Okay. Pace yourself. Okay. Pace yourself. We're continuing our series today, Unless the Lord Builds the House. This series is all about taking the structural things that the Lord has given us, making sure that we're using those pieces and building the house accordingly. Now, it's all about family. It's all about children. It's all about making sure that we're investing in our families. Now, you may be sitting here today, you're like, I don't have kids. I'm not married. I don't want you to check out. Because if you're sitting here today, you're in the Lord's house. And you're a part of a family. And you're a part of building something. If you're sitting here today, maybe you want to one day be married. Maybe you want to one day have children. You're a part of this message, whether you think you are or not. Maybe one day you'll be a dad. Maybe one day you'll be a mother. But no matter what, you're a son or a daughter. No matter what, you're a part of this message. But I want to let you know that it's hard to raise a family. It's hard to be a dad. You want to know how I know that? There's a perfect example that has happened over the last 2.5 months. It didn't happen within the church. Actually, it happened within the world. There's a man. I'm going to give you a hint. If you're at the first worship experience, don't shout out. His initials are TB. Anybody want to take a guess who I'm talking about? Shout it out if you know it. Tom Brady. Nailed it. I'm not afraid to say this in Pittsburgh. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback that's ever played in the National Football League. He is. He is. I wouldn't say that if he still played for the New England Patriots. I'd hold strong to that. But Tom Brady retired from the NFL. He realized over the last 2.5 months how hard it was to be a stay-at-home dad. He realized that. 2.5 months it took him to realize that it's easier to be hit by a 300-pound lineman than to stay home all day with young kids. There's a picture of him with his 3 kids. He actually has 4 children. He realized that he'd much rather go back to the grind of being an NFL quarterback than be a stay-at-home dad all day. He didn't go back for the money. His wife is worth $500 million. That's not counting his net worth. They're almost billionaires. He didn't go back for the money. He went back to get out of his house. It's hard. It's hard to raise a family. It's hard work. And I'm not just talking about with your own children. I'm talking about within the kingdom as well. Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The Lord has built what we're experiencing here. And all the sleepless nights, all the prayers, all the hard work, all of it was done because the Lord was working and is working and will continue to work. It is exciting to get to see what God's doing. It is exciting to see what God has planned to do. And it is exciting to see all of you become a part of that. Church, there's room for you to become a part of what God's building here. It's not just about the 75 minutes to an hour and a half that you're here on Sunday mornings. You know, this place used to only be used on Sunday mornings. It's every day now. Every day somebody's here. There's a group here. There's meetings here. I used to think, well, why would I need an office here? I'm dreaming that I'm going to make an office here. I'm dreaming for that. Because I'm here more now than I am in North Braddock, where our hub is, our offices are. I'm excited about what God's doing here, what God's building in White Oak. And I want all of us to have that same excitement. And you may be thinking, oh, I'm not a part. How can I build? I don't have kids. I don't have a spouse. We just celebrated the life of a man at Bridge City Church that was never married, never had kids, and made one of the biggest impacts within Bridge City Church in the history of Bridge City Church. His name's Frank Camarda. Never had kids. Never had a wife. Raised up so many spiritual men within this church. So many spiritual sons. Raised up so many ministries within this church. Never had a wife. Never had kids. Didn't stop him from building the house of God. Don't tell me you can't if you don't have. He did. So we're going to continue reading today in Deuteronomy chapter 6. A little context. There's a huge generational transition happening here. It's a pivotal time in history. The fifth book of the Bible, it's covering 2 months. You look in the New Testament, this time in history is quoted over 120 times. There's a sense of urgency in what's happening here. You know, last week, if you were here, I asked for everybody throughout the week to read Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, the Shema, the Jewish confession of faith, the morning and evening prayer that the Jewish culture would read. I'm not going to ask you who did it. I'm not going to have you raise your hand or stand to your feet or jump up and down if you did that. But I am going to tell you this. If I can't get you to read your Bible, I know I can't get you to do much. You know, I know that there's a lot of people in this room that I have the distinct honor and privilege of you calling me pastor, and I don't take that lightly. I really don't. I know that there's a lot of people in this room that I don't have that honor in your life. I don't have that relationship with you yet. But if I do, I take it seriously. But as your pastor, if I can't get you to read the Bible, it pains me, because I know if I told you to watch this new show on Netflix, you'd give me a full report if you did. If I told you to go to this new restaurant, you'd go. You know how many times I've talked about the rolls at Texas Roadhouse, and I got text message after text message after text message. I went right afterwards, Pastor, covered myself in that honey butter. I'm serious. You talked about it in your sermon. I just had to go get it. I didn't get any text messages this week about anybody speaking the the Jewish confession of faith over their children. It pained me. It hurt my heart. I know we did it last week, but I'm about to do it again. So at least I know it happened twice this week. Verse 4, Deuteronomy 6. We're going to flow through this. If you have your Bible, open it up. If you want to follow behind me, go ahead. But you know what? I believe there's power when the Word of God is spoken over you. So let's just bow our heads. Close our eyes. Try to remove the distractions around you. Just have the Word of God just spoken over you. Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Father God, I just speak that over the people that can hear my voice right now, both in person and online, Lord. God, I pray that the Word of God would be so deeply ingrained in our families that it would overflow into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our schools. God, I pray that the Word of God would be what drives us, what leads us, what helps us to make our decisions. God, that our lives wouldn't be dictated by the culture around us or by what's cool or popular. But by what your Word says. God, that our lives wouldn't be moved by emotion, but by your Word. God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the fact that your Word has spoken so many promises over us, over our lives, and over our eternity, our inheritance. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. Lord, we thank you that your clarity gives us perspective for the future. And Lord, I just want us to have a focus right now. You know, we can think about what the next 5 years look like, what the next 10 years look like, but Rob Benedetti and his wife, Sue, and Pastor Rick and Natalie and the elders of the church, you know, they're really not concerned what 2030 is going to look like. The next 8 years, they're going to take care of themselves. We're looking about what's 2050 going to look like. 2050, guys, that's not that long from now. Think about it. Those kids that are upstairs that are getting vision poured into them right now, they're going to be down here preaching, leading worship. Those babies that are in there right now, some of them in the mom room getting fed, they're going to be greeting you at the door. What you're pouring into them now is what they're going to be giving to others. That's in some forms scary to think about. Because the question needs to be asked, what are you pouring in? Or what are you not pouring in? Are you doing it or is YouTube? Are you doing it or is TikTok? Are you doing it or is Netflix? Our future is at stake. So what's it going to take for the church to succeed in 2050? We better get our priorities straight now. Not later, now. And I'm not just talking to married couples. I'm not just talking to moms and dads. I'm talking to the youth leaders. I'm talking to the 18-year-olds because the kids are looking at you. I'm not cool anymore. I might wear J's, but I still got a boot on the other foot. The scooter's gone, but I'm still 37. And listen, I don't wear J's to be cool. This is who I am. Born and raised. I've had these four times. I had these when they first came out, not when they were retroed. You spit the truth. I had these when they came out, not when they were re-released. Am I telling the truth, Jeremy? Yeah. I'm old. Just to the kids, I am. But seriously, we got to get our priorities straight now. Where the kid, the 18-year-olds, you got to, the kids are looking at you. They're not looking at me. They want to see how you worship at 18, 19, 20 years old. Parents, we need to be careful. What are we pouring into our kids? They're looking at you. How do you handle adversity? How do you get up for church in the morning? What do you do on your drive to church? Are you excited to be here? Lennon's favorite place to come is church. We can barely drive past here without him crying because he wants to come in. That's something that needs to be instilled and fed and fostered. I pray that that's there when he's 13. Personal relationships with God's word. Personal relationships with God's word. I'm so happy that coffee shops are starting to open back up that you can actually sit in them. The Starbucks in Irwin, over the last couple weeks, they finally put the wooden stools back in. They're out of quarantine. They finally came back. They passed the test. They're all good now. Those stools aren't contagious anymore. You're allowed to sit in there. I can't wait to just go on and sit in there and just read my Bible and put my laptop out. I can't wait. I haven't done it yet. I just got mobile again, like a week and a half ago. But not only should your family see it, but people outside should see it. People in the community should see it. And they're going to ask questions. They're going to talk to you. What are you doing? What are you reading? What's that leather book? That smells good. It's handmade. A guy named Paul. You buy one of these and it supports his missions. It's pretty cool. A perpetual persistence. Can't stop, won't stop. Jesus Christ records. Come on. Y'all know. Little Dame Dash in there. If you know, you know. I am who I am. The days are long, but the years are short. Perspective is everything. Lennon's 4. I got 14 more years with him. 14 more summers. It's crazy to think about. I don't want to waste them. You know, I don't like the heat. I really don't. I just sweat. I'm a hydrated man. I really am. I sweat thinking about sweat. It's just who I am. I've always been that way. I'm not hot right now. I'm really not hot. I'm like an irrigation system. I really, it's just who I am. The Holy Spirit starts going and I start going. But this summer, I'm going all out for Lent. I only have 14 left. Kennywood passes, I'll walk around. I'm Thomas Land all day. I'm going to ride that train all day. Because I want what's important to him to be important to me. Because one day I want what's important to me to be important to him. We're going to model it. You got to model it. Trains are important to him. Trains are important to me. The Bible's important to me. Bible's going to be important to him. See what I'm doing? You have to do that for your kids. Priority one, God. Deuteronomy 6:4. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Let's say it together. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You know what the problem is? Too many of us put God on the side. Pastor John put it in like Braddock terms. We look at God as our side piece. I'm going to put it in my terms. We look at God as a side item. I like barbecue. How many of you like barbecue? Okay. Actually, you know, I don't like barbecue. I really don't. I love it. Okay. And I'm not like, I like the side stuff. But it's not what I go after. Okay, I'll do the coleslaw, the baked beans, the macaroni and cheese, the cornbread, all that stuff. That's all extra. But I'm about the brisket, the ribs, the pork shoulder, that stuff. Okay? I'm not too worried about the sides. But sometimes we put God on the side and we forget that he's supposed to be the main thing. We need to flip our perspective. God needs to be number one. He needs to be first. He doesn't ask for much. Actually, he only asks for one thing. Do you know what that one thing is? Everything. It's simple. First of the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 5, 6 or 7. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. We have a lot of gods, small g's, in our culture. We really do. And here's a newsflash. A lot of us make our kids little gods in our life. Small g's. I know that's hard to hear. But we make our kids little gods. Little, tiny, adorable, precious little gods running around. Precious. But they're running the show. We have to stop. Too many people worship their kids. And put them as number one. And that's not what we're supposed to model. God needs to be number one. Big G. Big G. Huge G. It's one of my favorite illustrations of all time. Y'all ready? My attorney's not here, but he was sitting in the third row. I've only had to use him once for Lennon's adoption. But if I ever had to use him again, he's not a criminal attorney. I hope I don't ever have to use him for that. But if I did, I'd call him first if I ever had to use him. He'd answer the phone. He'd refer me to somebody else. But here's the question. I want you, can we all imagine together? What do they say with Daniel Tiger? What do they say when you have to imagine? They make like a noise and stuff, and there's a song. Anybody? None of you guys watch Daniel Tiger? Come on. None of you have ever been to Idlewild? Waited 45 minutes in that train line? None of you have lived? All right. Well, let's imagine. You're on trial. 12 jurors. your peers. Life or death situation. And the jurors need to decide whether or not there's enough evidence in your life to prove that you love Jesus and that he's your number one. Is there enough evidence that he's the foundation of your household? That he's what your household is built upon? God alone is the foundation. Is there enough evidence? Here's the question: where are your priorities? What's your schedule look like? What's your calendar? You telling your finances where to go, or your finances telling you where to go? Do you have true church community, or are you just here for 75 minutes on a Sunday? You just showing up? There used to be a door right where the giving kiosk is. We took it out because it looked right like to the kitchen and to the women's bathroom. So if you had to go to the bathroom or had to go to the kitchen, there was lots of noise and stuff. So we put a wall up. But I'm sad we put the wall up because I used to, right when the worship experience was over, I used to run through that door so that I could catch people at the front door, all the people that run out, so that I could meet them. I'm serious. It was one of the things I used to do. Because some of you just run out. I don't have the opportunity to ever meet you. I don't know why you're running from community. I don't know what it is. All of you are like, oh my goodness, he noticed. He noticed. Oh, I thought you're good. I thought he didn't see us. He knows. He knows. All of you are like, don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Some of you are going to be crawling out today. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to meet you. What's your daily devotion look like? But seriously, if you were on trial, is there enough evidence to prove that he's the foundation? There's a video that's went viral. Some of you have probably seen this. He's a judge. He's like 80 years old. He videos all of his hearings. Have any of you ever seen this guy? He's in Massachusetts. He's an amazing guy. Guy standing before him, it's a traffic violation. They show the video of him running the red light. And he has his little son with him. His son's probably like 8 years old. And the judge says, is that your vehicle? Yes. Do you run the red light? Yes. The little boy says, he ran another one today. The judge laughs so hard. Be honest with yourself. Personal relationship with God's word. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 6. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Your relationship with God's word can't just be on Sunday mornings. It can't just be what's being read to you or spoken to you or read to you. I want to brag on somebody today. Some of you have never met him. A lot of you are going to meet him. He is so nervous right now because he probably knows who he is. I'm going to talk about him. He plays the electric guitar. His name is Matt Dupre. He is so nervous right now. He's one of the smartest men I've ever met. He loves the Word of God. Loves it. Studies it. Knows it. Challenges it. But he will never, ever just take what was read to him or told to him. He studies it for himself. And he's hungry. Has a desire. Has a hunger and a thirst. And you know how that was developed? Over time. And you know how that was fostered? One, by his parents, but two, by himself. He's not just the guy that plays the electric guitar and does looks real cool doing it. He was shredding today. He had his leg out. He's not just a musician. He's a son of God who loves God's word. The people up here don't just play music. They love Jesus. They have a personal relationship with God's word. You know, what's God's love language? We talk about love languages in premarital counseling. There's five of them. Gary Chapman wrote a great book. My love, there's five love languages. I tell my wife all the time, I reserve the right to go between all five of them at any given moment. She knows that. Hers is quality time. It's always quality time. I know that. God's love language is real simple. If you love me, obey my commandments. It's real simple. If you love me, obey me. If you love him, obey him. So, how can we model a love for God, for our children, for our families, for the people around us, for the generation behind us, or even the generation above us? Because listen, there are people that are older than us that we could model things for. I've encouraged Benedetti. He's older than me. He's encouraged me. I'm younger than him. I've encouraged Yester. He's older than me. He's encouraged me. I'm younger than him. It goes both ways. Show them a passion for God's word. Show it to them. Don't just tell them about it. Be about it. Be about it. Don't just tell them. Show them. You want to know how old I am? Right now, in my head, the only thing, I'm about it. Come on, John, you know it. You about it? You about it? Oh. All my old millennials know what just happened. Show them a passion for worship. Don't just play worship music in your car. Don't just turn on K-Love. Oh, we love worship music. We just love it. Except during the pledge drive time. We don't love worship music during pledge time. We just don't. We don't love it during that time. We love worship music when we're at Chick-fil-A. It's great. You're not holy because you know that that's how great is our God while you're eating your 10-piece. Show them that you love worship, not just because of music, but because you show them a lifestyle of worship. Worship isn't just music, it's a life. You live a life full of worship. But I'm not a worship leader, but you could be a leader of worship from your seat. Show them a servant's heart. You know who taught me this? What this looks like? How you show your children what it means to serve? Gary, the Hoskins. That whole row right there is Hoskins. Except for the three at the end. Gary is a chef. Well, he's a truck driver chef. Ask him his story. It's great. Gary would always show up when we had big conferences, and he did cooking. And we'd do prep work. We're talking like chopping onions, chopping vegetables, all the prep work that goes into cooking huge meals. And he would show up with his sons. And people would say, Gary, they're kids. We can't give them knives. And he'd give them knives. They'd set them up, onions, carrots, everything. And they'd be, and they'd be looking at you. You remember that? I'll never forget it. Yeah, he said, I'm bleeding. It's like Master Chef. But you know what that showed everybody around him? You don't have to stop serving because you have kids. You serve differently when you have kids and you show them how to do it. He modeled that, not only for his children, but the men around him. You don't stop serving, you serve differently. Show them. Serve and serve with your kids. Hearts to serve at home and at church. Show them an attitude of gratitude and humility. We don't do this because we have to. We do this because we get to. We get to serve. We get to do this. We love to do this. You know what? One of the things that I'm constantly trying to do, and I want you to constantly try to do within your family, church is never and never has been and never will be a burden. Lennon will never hear, we have to go to church. When I get a day off, I try and will continue. Isn't this great? I get a day off today. Isn't the church great? Isn't our church awesome that they let me have a day off today, buddy? Here's a great quote from Valerie Bell. I couldn't say this one word during the first worship experience. I'm going to try again. I bit my tongue. But why don't you all say it for me? When I stop, you all say it. You good? Okay, I'll pause. You all say it. It's a hard word. If your young people are going to thrive in a digital Babylon, they have to move beyond. You guys are so good. With Jesus to a place of intimacy. They have to just stop knowing about him and be in true relationship with him. You can't just tell them about Jesus. You need to show them and introduce them. They can't just be fans. They need to be followers. We talked about Frank Camarda. He was not just a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was a follower. He knew everything about that team. He kept score at the games. He knew everything. I'm really actually quite fearful because I don't think I'm going to know anything about the team now, except that they play. I'm excited to take Lennon to his first game, but I'm going to need somebody to tell me when there's a day game. Like, somebody text me. But he was a follower of the team. He wasn't just a fan. And we need to create followers of Jesus, not just fans. Definitely not fair weather fans. Because it's easy to follow when things are going right. Let's keep going. There needs to be a perpetual persistence, not giving up. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Repeat them again and again to your children. Everybody say again and again. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Repeat them. Teach them diligently to sharpen. Every day this week, Lennon has heard Luke 2:52. Every day. I've prayed it over him his whole entire life. But this week, I made a purpose that he's going to hear it every day. And I made a purpose that he's going to hear it every day that I am on this earth. He's going to hear it. That he continues to grow in wisdom and knowledge and stature before God and man, just as Jesus Christ did. I've always prayed it over him, but he hasn't always heard it. I want him to hear it. What's the priority? Have you set the priorities? Talk, discuss it every day along the way. Have discussions. Even do that in your family, with your friends, with your brothers, with your sisters, with your friends. Pick out something. What was something you heard today? It's as simple as that. I heard a song called I'm About It. What is that about? Now, pick something spiritual, and please don't Google who is Master P. But seriously, have discussions. It's easy, but it might be hard because you know what happened this morning before you got here. But have a spiritual discussion. What did you hear today? What was your take home? I'm going to challenge you. If you're not taking notes, you're not taking anything home. Ooh. That hurt. Now you're really going to sneak out. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. I'm 6'7". I can see all of you, even if I'm not on the stage. Just so you know, I don't need to be elevated. I almost said hi. I don't need to be high. I don't need to be on stage. Don't you like how I said I almost said and then I say it? That's who I am. What translation of the Bible is best? People always ask me this. Pastor, what translation's best? Which one's best? They come to me thinking like they're asking me this huge question. They're impressing me by asking what translation should I get? Here it is. You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
The ELT. The Everyday Life Translation. The one you're going to read. That is not a real translation, okay? The one you're going to read. Pick one. We usually preach from the NLT. But I want to let you know, when I'm preaching, the week before, I read everything in the New King James. And then I go to the NASB. Okay? And then I usually read it in the NLT. And then I'll read it in the NIV. And then just for fun, I'll read the message at the end. Just for fun. All the way at the end. Well, we usually preach out of the NLT just for you guys on Sundays. But I want you to read the one you're going to read. Oh, after the NSV or NASB, I go ESV. Sorry, I skipped one. My big study Bible is the ESV. Big one. The one that's engraved with my name on it. It's official. It smells great. Seize the times, people. How do you say that? Seize the day? Carpe diem, right? It's fun to say. Dinner time, bedtime, drive time. Pick your times. You know what your times are. Just seize them. Seize the opportunity you have. Whether it's with your kids, with your friends. Everybody has that one friend that only wants to talk to you when they're driving. You know what I'm talking about. All right, I got to where I'm at. You're not important anymore. That friend. Some of you aren't laughing because you are that friend. And you just realized you're that friend. Shannon's looking down. She's like, that's me. Brandon, are you that dude? Seize your time that you have. Don't let it pass by. Speaking of times, we have a huge time planned April 16th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 2 hours, 120 minutes. Quick math there. The egg extravaganza. You may think, I don't like eggs. I don't like searching for them. I don't care. I want you to be there. You know why? Because we have the opportunity to love our community. We have the opportunity to invite our community. There's invitations on your seats. Those aren't for you. Those are for the people that you know that are outside of these walls. Those are for the people that you know that their walls will fall down when you invite them to come to an egg extravaganza. Those are for the people that you know that need to see that the people you come to church with are normal, kind of. As normal as it gets. Okay, normal's a lie. Doesn't exist. But I want you to invest in the community around you, and it's real simple. Just invite someone. It's an easy investment, and the return can be really, really amazing. Let's keep reading here. Deuteronomy 6, verses 8 and 9. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Y'all ready to learn a fun word? No? All right, let's wrap it up. Everybody have a great week. Fun word. Here we go. Actually, this word's very common, and what I'm about to talk about is very common, very close to here in Squirrel Hill. We were just talking about this. You drive through Squirrel Hill, you see them everywhere. Matt Dupre, who I was just talking about, he still sees them all the time. He's in people's houses all the time. I won't let you know his profession because he'll get calls all the time from people within the church now. Hey, can you do this? Can you do this? I'll let him tell you what he does. He's a prison guard. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Everybody ready to say the word with me? Yes. Mezuzah. In the Jewish culture, they'll put these on their doors. Before they leave the house, they'll touch it, and they touch their lips. Touch it, touch their heart. When they come home, they'll touch it, touch their lips, because it's the Word of God. They want the Word of God to always be on their lips or always be on their hearts. Always. When they leave the house, when they come into the house, always want it to be there. Always. I think about this. I think about when a majority of us leave our houses, we're rushing out because we got to get somewhere. We got to get to work, or we got to get the kids to this, or we got to get here, or I'm going to be late, or I have to do this, or I have to do this. What would it look like if we just took a moment and we stilled ourselves before we went anywhere and said, God, just be with me. God, I want to take you with me. God, before I leave this place, may your word be with me. God, before I leave this place, may your word be evident in my life. God, before I leave this place, may others see your word coming out of me. God, before I leave this place, may everything that comes out of me be a reflection of you. If we're going to be a reflection of him, he better be in there. I just want to take a moment. Listen, if you're here today and you don't have a moment, you don't have a day, you don't have a place, you don't have a time where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means that you've taken a moment where you've confessed with your mouth. You've openly declared that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want today to be your day. March 20th, 2022 at 12:03 p.m. in White Oak, Pennsylvania. That means He becomes Lord of your life. You repent of your past, ask for forgiveness, receive forgiveness, and He becomes the leader of your future. And I just want you to openly declare that. So if you're here today, I want to be able to rejoice with heaven. And there's some people that just want to pray with you. So just slip your hand up to heaven and say, listen, God, that's me. Pastor Nick, that's me. I've lived long enough without knowing where I'm going to spend eternity. And you know what? Just give me one of these. The people next to you don't even know. Just give me one of these. I can see you. Remember, I'm high. Anyone at all today? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity we have to present your gospel. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to take your word with us anywhere that we go. And Lord, may we not be ashamed of it, because the world's not. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I want to give you another perspective shift, because I believe I'm a perspective changer. Do not be ashamed to let the world see that you're taking the word of God outside of your house with you. I'm serious. Put it on your doorpost. Put it on your garage door button. That's weird, Pastor Nick. No, it's not, because every single football team is not afraid to do it on national TV. Play like a champion today. Boop! They're bumping chests, hitting helmets off of it. Every single one of them, they don't care. They're not afraid to do it. They're not afraid to remind themselves of who they are and who they're supposed to be before they get on that field. Remind yourself of who you are. Listen, if you need to get a little cloud machine in your house and get a voiceover machine so you could get God, remember who you are. I'm serious. It worked for Simba. Am I right? Everybody needs a Rafiki.